y'all back tonight. Take your Bibles, please. And we are going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Matthew chapter 6. And I trust that as we are going along in this through this series of meetings, that we will keep in mind what we were considering on Sunday morning about increasing in the knowledge of God, so that our manner of living might be right, our motive might be right, and our materialization might be right as Christians. And this is an aspect tonight that we're going to consider here in Matthew 6 that is something that I think that every Christian believes is important, that every Christian probably believes is necessary, but that I would imagine that most Christians would say that they really struggle with. And that is the area of prayer. Ian Bounds said this, "Prayer is the easiest of things and the most difficult of all things." It's easy, folks, because we can go to God as Christians at any time, any place, no matter what the deal is, and we can pray. It's a wonderful blessing that we have. We don't have to go through the rigmarole of kings and you know, going through protocols in order to get to the king. We get to go to the King of Kings at any time and lift our voice to him. So it's a wonderful privilege. But at the same time, it's the hardest of all things because this is a spiritual activity. It's spiritual communion with God. And it affects our lives as Christians. And guess who doesn't want our lives to be affected as Christians to the positive? Satan, for one, right? Sinful people, ourselves even, our flesh sometimes rears up in that regards. And so sometimes prayer is a real struggle. And sometimes we've fallen for the lie that only a few Christians can really have strong and consistent and profitable prayer lives. Folks, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? It simply is. Why? Because God establishes relationship with us through salvation, right? God communicates to us through His Word. And then God intends for us to communicate with Him. This is how a relationship works, right? A relationship is established on two-way communication. You do not have a relationship, not a real meaningful relationship, if it's only one way, right? And so God desires this. And so God has given us principles in His Word that we might take and properly utilize so that we might have more consistent and more profitable prayer lives. So what would those things be? Well, obviously we cannot cover all those things in one message. There's too many things in regards to prayer that we could cover. But I hope that tonight we can look at three major points and consider how we can help us to have a much more consistent and profitable prayer life. Notice Matthew 6 in verse 5, please. Christ speaks here, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So the first point that we have here tonight is if we're going to have profitable and consistent prayer lives, we must first of all be authentic in our praying. We must be authentic in our praying. In other words, there has to be a genuineness in regards to our praying. Now, I don't know about you, but I like genuine things. Now, some things, some knockoffs are okay to have. But there's one thing that, to me, I have to have the genuine, authentic thing. You want to take a guess what that is? Mountain Dew. Okay? This Mountain Lightning thing? No. You know, Mellow Yellow from Coke, a very, very sad and sorry attempt to compete with Mountain Dew? No. No, the authentic and Diet Mountain Dew and this new stupid sugarless Mountain Dew? No! Got to have the real, authentic Mountain Dew, right? And so you can put in what you like, you know. Different thing. But look, most people like authenticity. And guess what, folks? God honors authentic praying. So what comprises authentic praying? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that authentic praying means that we are not hypocritical. And that's what he says here in verse 5. You say, well, what does hypocritical praying look like? Well, it looks exactly what he says. Hypocritical praying is simply this, praying to be seen and heard of men while having no personal, ongoing, meaningful prayer life with Christ. All these Pharisees did was stand, and they did it in public arenas so that other people could look at them and listen to them. They would say these prayers out loud. And they would say them in these areas where people would be coming, and a lot of times it would be on these corners where streets would intersect and so forth, so that people, you know, as they're going around, they see them, number one, and they hear them, secondly. And they would use, like we say in the South, big 50-cent words. It's not 50 cents, okay? It's 50 cent, all right? So it can be 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent. 25 cent, 50 cent. All right? Do you understand? I'm trying to teach you good Southern language, okay? All right? Good grammar. And so, you know, they use these big 50 cent words. And they make these long prayers. And it's very, very poetical and very fancy. And you know what? People were awed by this. Especially the commoner, who might not have had much education, might not have had much training. They would have been awed by what they saw and by what they heard by these men. And yet, here's the reality. All it was a pretense. All it was showmanship. There was no genuine ongoing prayer life in the lives of these Pharisees. What was their reward? That they were seen and recognized of men. Let me tell you something. If all your life is to be seen and heard of men by your praying, so really your prayer life only consists when you are called on to pray, or you use the opportunity to act spiritual and pray to impress one another, you know what you are? You're a hypocrite. You might not like to hear that, but that's what the Bible calls you, okay? So get mad with God for terming you that, okay? Now, maybe that's not such a big deal for many of us, but let's look at the second thing that requires authentic praying, and that is that we not be heathenistic. Look at verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So don't be heathenistic. You cannot be authentic and heathenistic at the same time. Well, what is heathenistic praying? Heathenistic praying, the idea here is found with the terms vain repetitions. And what it means really is literally the construction, the reciting, the memorizing of the same prayer over and over and over again, word for word, exact, you know, as it has been learned or has been memorized. And basically what it is it's all my trust is in my prayer, and that as I say this prayer the right way and so many times and so many times a day in the right area, that, you know, if I'm facing east or if I face, you know, whatever, then my God is going to hear me. Okay? Even several years ago, there was a book that I read in regards to the prayer of Jabez. A prayer of Jabez, and I'm not going to go into the prayer of Jabez, but it's a wonderful prayer from which we can find some really good, solid biblical principles for praying. However, and this book, he brought out some of those good principles. However, I believe that the author made a mistake, because basically he kind of put it out there that if you took the prayer of Jabez and basically prayed the prayer of Jabez for so many days, I forget, 30 days, 60 days, that you would begin to experience some of the same blessings and opportunities that Jabez has. Can I tell you something, folks? I strongly disagree, because the power is not in the prayer. The power is to whom we are praying. Okay? So, you know, now wait a minute. Don't confuse vain repetitions with consistent prayer. Because consistent prayer is about me being concerned about a matter so much that I will continually go to God in prayer until I receive God's answer. That is not the same as vain repetition. Here's a great example of vain repetition, and probably every single one of us as a Christian is guilty of it. It's mealtimes. Dear Jesus, thank you for the food. Amen. Dear Lord, bless this mess. Heavenly Father, thanks for the cooking. Amen. Right? And what do we do? I mean, we are saying that prayer as fast as we can. Why? Because we want to sink our teeth into that burger. Are we really stopping to think about what we are praying? Or are we just mindlessly, rotely, ritualistically saying a prayer that we have said dozens and dozens of times? That is an example of vain repetition. You know what? That's not authentic praying. And God does not honor that. So don't be hypocritical. Don't be heathenistic. Third of all, if you're going to be authentic in your praying, you must, third of all, be honorable. Well, what's honorable praying? Look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what is honorable praying? Honorable praying is this. It is focused, concentrated prayer that is done in a manner that is not for showmanship. It's not to err in front of others. It's me having a concentrated time of conversation with God. He says, go into your closet. So women, that means that you got to go home tonight. You got to clear out your 10,000 pairs of shoes and you got to get into that closet and you got to start praying every day. That's the only time you can, you know. No, that's not what it's saying. The word closet means a secret place or a quiet place. You know what? For some of you, what the quiet place might be for your life when you pray, your car. Now, please pray with your eyes open. It's okay. God will allow you to pray with your eyes open. Okay? But seriously, think about it. Maybe you're driving a lot, and maybe you have the opportunity throughout the day to spend some time in prayer with God. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else. Maybe it is someplace in your house. Maybe it's out in the woods. Maybe it's taking a walk, and as you're walking, you're in your quiet realm, and you spend time with God in prayer. Okay? It can differ. It can be multiple different closets, if you will. The point is that you're not doing this for showmanship. You're not just sitting down and saying some mindless prayer over and over again on a daily basis, but you are having a focused, concentrated, meaningful time of prayer with God. That's the idea here. This is honorable prayer. This is authentic praying. And I think that we would all understand that. I think that we would all agree with it. But we're going to move to the second point because here's where the rubber really meets the road. And perhaps this is even more difficult for us as Christians to really make sure it's a part of our life that results in profitable praying. And that is this. We must not only be authentic in our praying, but we also must be disciplined in our praying. This might be perhaps the hardest thing. So what does it mean to be disciplined in our praying? Well, first of all, we have to make the effort. Notice the beginning of verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest. Right? Now stop right there. I'm not going to build on this too much yet because there's another thing that I'm going to point out here in just a couple minutes that will further kind of overlap and build on this. But the idea here is that you must make the effort to pray. When thou prayest, you have to choose to pray, in other words. You see, God just doesn't strike you when you get saved and suddenly you're this praying machine. And it just comes out even when you're not, you know, you're not even thinking about it. It just subconsciously happens and boom, 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 you're praying. And here you've only been saved one day and now you're a master prayer warrior. No, I'm sorry. Prayer does not work that way. Prayer is a developed discipline, folks. It's just like, think about growing up as a teenager and learning how to talk to girls in an appropriate manner. You ever seen that? You ever seen, guys and girls and they're and they don't know exactly what to say, and they're kind of embarrassed, and they're blushing, and, hi. Hi. Let's see. How are you? Good. You just kind of, I know, being a little facetious here, but you know what I'm getting at, right? Takes a little while for them to, maybe start to understand, okay, a girl's a human being. She's not alien. Completely, anyways. That guy, okay, he's a boy, all right, Kind of weird, kind of smelly, but all right, Can talk to him, we can communicate. Well, folks, prayer is not something that is necessarily natural, because it is something that is actually spiritual. And so it is a learned thing. If you think that you're just automatically going to begin to spew out praying all the time, you are sorely mistaken. Why? Because first of all, you must make the effort. And this is what he's putting out there. So then notice the second thought here. Not only must we make the effort, but here's where we have a little bit of overlap, but it's a building upon. We must establish a habit of prayerfulness. Now notice what it says. Okay, verse 5, it starts off, and when thou prayest. Look at verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest. Verse 6 again, pray to thy Father. Verse 7, but when ye pray. And then in verse 9, after this manner therefore, pray ye. What is the idea of all of these verses? Be consistent in praying to the point that it becomes an established habit. Look, anyone can make the effort a few times. But just because you make the effort in something a few times does not mean that that thing has become an established pattern in your life, right? Okay? You have to do it over and over and over again. What do they say? That usually it takes at least 30 days for something to become a good habit, right? Why? Because it has to become kind of ingrained in your thinking, in your consciousness. Well, folks, why would we think that it would be any other way with praying? We make the effort, yes, but the thing is this, God doesn't want us just to make the effort. He wants to build on that effort by consistent, ongoing prayer to the point where it becomes a regular part of our lives, so much that it becomes as much of a habit as us eating, you know, every day. Right? It's just a habit. I eat every day. You know? I have a habit of doing, you know, you fill in the blank. What are some things that you do every day? Because they're just a habit. Now, why? Because you've done them so much. Listen to what Scripture says. Luke 18:1, it says that Jesus taught them a parable unto this end, saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4:2 says, but continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean that we are to pray every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year for the rest of our lives. Did you get that? Please don't make me repeat it. Okay? I did pretty well that time. That is not what God is saying in those verses or through those verses. What is He saying? He is saying, keep constant to prayer. Establish prayer so that it becomes a more spiritually natural part of your life, if I can put it that way. Let me explain by illustration. I met a lady several years ago as a youth pastor. Her name was Flo. Flo's a very, very different type lady, okay, just to say the least. Very interesting. And the first time that I met her, we were talking. I have no idea what we were talking about. I don't remember. I might have mentioned some kind of a prayer request or I don't know what it was. But right in the middle of my conversation, I'm talking. And right there in the middle of my sentence, Flo closes her eyes and starts praying. And I'm still talking. And like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, maybe I better close my eyes, you know. Like, this is weird. This is really weird. Well, every time I had a conversation with Flo, this happened. Now, I'll tell you what I thought initially, what it was. I thought it was hypocritical praying. Right? Praying to be seen of men, praying to be recognized by men. Okay? I really did. Well, folks, can I tell you something? Almost 20 plus years later, if I still see Flo on occasion, guess what usually happens? She just breaks out in prayer. Why? Well, prayer's become a very habitual part of her life. Now, I'm not telling you that you start interrupting people in their praying, in their talking, in their conversations and stuff. I'm not telling you to copy that. That's not wise. That's again, that would go back to more hypocritical type of praying and whatnot. But you know what? It is interesting just to consider that we should be concerned about developing prayer so much that it just kind of happens throughout the day. It's not that we necessarily plan it. And you know, yeah, maybe at first while we are learning to discipline ourselves to pray, and yes, as we are learning to make the effort to pray, maybe we are going to have to set, you know, maybe a certain number of times. Not because the set number of times makes us spiritual, but the set number of times is helping us to establish this habit to the point where eventually we're not going to even have to think about how many times a day we're praying. Okay? It's not even the amount. Look, it's not how long you pray. It's not even the amount of prayer that you're praying. It's that you are praying on a regular basis. That you are having constant times of fellowship with your Lord and Savior. So establish it. Establish a habit of praying. Notice, third of all, from this passage, not only are we to be authentic in our praying, not only are we to be disciplined in our praying, notice, third of all, that we are to be yielded and trustful in our praying. Look at verse 10. He's going into the Lord's Prayer, which really is not properly named. I'm not going to go into all that right now, okay? But notice verse 10. It says, "Thy kingdom come." Next phrase, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Folks, the fact of the matter is if we are going to have profitable prayer lives, our prayer lives must be yielded and trustful. Okay? Folks, I believe that we probably all think that we know what is best many times, right? And so we have different things and we pray. And many times those requests, they're genuine, they're concerned, they're desiring the right end. Even like Paul, remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 when he had this thorn in his flesh, whatever this physical ailment was that caused him constant pain, what did he do? He reverentially went to God and three different times he asked, "Please remove this from me." Okay? Now he wasn't trying to boss God around. He wasn't being irreverent or disrespectful. He was making a sincere and a genuine prayer request that he felt would help him so that he could move on in his ministry more efficiently, right? But what did God say? He said no, basically. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," right? And what does Paul answer? "Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He was yielded to God's answer. Listen, God, when we pray, God will answer our prayer. But He will not necessarily always answer that prayer the way that we expect or the way that we want or in the time frame even that we think is best. This is where we need to learn to trust God. And we get this from the phrase, "Thy will be done." Listen, do you really trust God? Do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God has your best interest at heart? Well, over in Matthew chapter 7, if you look at verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" You know what? I don't have time to touch on this. This is a passage here in Matthew 7 that has been sorely taken out of context. It's been very much abused. People have taken this to mean, well, you know what? Whatever I ask God for, he just has to give it to me. Called the name it and claim it philosophy of prayer. Not consistent with the total of Scripture. Okay? And it's not what this passage is teaching, even though from a cursory glance that might appear to be what it's saying. But if you really examine that passage in Matthew 7, what it is saying is this: God is good, God wants the best for your life, and God as a loving Father wants to enable you in your life. And so God will give those things that are good and that are beneficial for our lives. But that does not mean that He's going to give everything that we ask for, because not everything is going to be good and beneficial and best for our lives. James 4 tells us that we, in verse 3, it says, ye have not because ye ask not. Folks, do you realize how many blessings we miss out on because we don't trust God enough to go to Him in prayer? Have we forgotten Philippians 4, 6? Be careful, don't worry, don't be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Have we forgotten Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God cares for us. God wants to answer us. God wants to bestow good things upon our lives. But you know what? Sometimes we don't receive those blessings because we don't ask God for them. Because we ultimately don't trust Him. But there's the flip side. In James 4, 3 and following, it says, ye have not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. You know what? Sometimes, folks, the fact of the matter is sometimes we do pray selfishly, right? We pray in our own wisdom. We pray because we have our own agenda at hand. And God knows that. God's not going to honor that kind of praying. And again, even as I pointed out with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, sometimes it can be honorable, it can be right, it can be something worthwhile that we are asking of God, but sometimes, folks, God just has a different plan for our lives. And you know what we have to do? We have to trust Him. I'm telling you, folks, there are so many Christians that they get so upset when God doesn't answer their prayer. And I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand how we can trust God enough to save us from our sins, give us eternal life, and establish a permanent eternal relationship with Christ through salvation, but we can't trust God enough to accept His dealings with us, His responses to us in prayer. I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. My God is worth trusting. My God is faithful. My God is good. My God doesn't want anything to be in my life that is going to be of impediment or of hurt or not valuable. Even when I think that particular thing might be of value. And sometimes when I pray, as I pray and I'm trying to be right in my praying, you know what? God's will is that He would grant that. Praise the Lord. But you know what? If it's no, praise the Lord. Regardless, I can trust my God no matter what His response, because His will is best. His will is right. His will is perfect. We are told in Romans 12 that we are to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you may judge and find out for yourself. Literally is the idea. What is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God? God's will is good. That means it has benefit. God's will is perfect. It's without mistake. And God's will is acceptable. It means it's pleasing. And you know what? You know how we find that out? One, we renew our mind on God's truth through His Word. And secondly, it means that when it comes to this matter of praying, it means that we are surrendered to God's will being done. Because we trust those three things about God's will. So folks, tonight, what we have before us are some very core, very, I think, simple to understand truths and principles about praying. Here's the question, though. Are you utilizing these principles consistently in your praying? Are you seeking to be authentic in your praying? Are you striving to be disciplined in your praying? Are you focused in trusting and being yielded to God's will in your praying? If these things are in your life, these are biblical principles, folks, that God, listen to me, that God always honors. When this comprises your prayer life, guess what? This is going to make your prayer life more real. This is going to make your prayer life more precious to you. This is going to make your prayer life develop. This is going to help your prayer life develop your overall relationship with God. If these principles are not a part of your prayer life is going to be weak, it's going to be inconsistent, it's going to be faithless, and it's going to be useless for the majority. So tonight, I think we would all agree prayer is important. I think we'd say that. I think we'd say it's worthwhile. But I also think that we would say it's tough. It can be a struggle. Well, maybe it's because we're not properly utilizing these principles in regards to our praying. And maybe tonight, as we would close in a time of invitation, maybe you need to take some time to just pray and deal with God and commit to really making sure that these principles are in your heart and in your mind as you seek to further develop and build a proper prayer life with God. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking tonight. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. In just a moment, we're going to have the hymn of invitation. We have the wonderful and beautiful gift of prayer availed to us through salvation. That which affects our relationship with God, that which affects our lives in so many different ways, are we properly utilizing it or are we wasting it because we're not being careful to have these principles as a stable part of our prayer lives? Tonight, you know what the Lord may have brought to your attention. You know maybe what He's dealing with you about. Would you take the time to deal with the Lord so that your prayer life might be more consistent and more profitable? Heavenly Father, please take this time of invitation. Pray that You would have Your will in our lives. God, as You would show us things, may we be willing to acknowledge them. And then, Lord, may we be willing to make decisions in regards to those things and then follow through with the appropriate actions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As the song is played tonight, would you take some time to, if God has spoken to your heart, if He's impressed upon you some of the aspects of what we've talked in regards to prayer, would you take some time tonight to deal with the Lord about that? Folks, this is such a necessity for our lives. And I think that probably every single one of us could say in here, my life needs to have a stronger, more consistent prayer life. Well, folks, you can. It's not going to be easy, but it is certainly attainable with these principles in mind. Would you commit to that tonight? This way. Thank you.